I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. The music takes us back 1,000 years, as does the tradition of singing love poems as ghazals and old folk tunes. But this time, the lyrics are new. The music is original, and the artist, Kiran Ahluwalia, comes to us by way of India, New Zealand, and Toronto, with her own links to Persia and the Punjab. Kiran Ahluwalia is here with us this hour for a chance to explore why it is that the musical forms of so long ago still have such an appeal in film scores, on radio, and as popular music stashed away on iPods everywhere from Amritsar to Albuquerque. How much room is there to play, to experiment, to introduce modern elements, new instruments, different lyrics, and still stay true to that original form? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And as I said, Kiran Ahluwalia is here with me in the Connection studio. It's nice to have you here.
It's great being here. Thank you.
Can you introduce the people who are here with you as well?
Yes. To my left is the acoustic guitar player Rez Abbasi. And to my right is the acoustic tabla player, the Indian drums, Naren Budhakar.
Now, we don't have them directly on voice mic, so I'll get a smile and a nod from them, say welcome to the program. It's nice to have you here. The piece of music we were just listening to, Kiran, is a Punjabi folk song, right?
Yes, it is. The lyrics were written in about the 1860s by a very famous Sufi poet, Bulle Shah. And the composition is something new, something I composed about a couple of years ago.
Now, some of the pieces that you do, though, have very modern lyrics. Is that right?
Yes, some of the pieces that I do, some of the ghazals, are written by South Asian Canadian poets. What happened is that after I'd recorded my first CD in Canada, I made this important discovery that there were poets writing in the ghazal genre living in North America. So I went to their recitals and I found beautiful poetry that I was able to compose. So this was a really important discovery for me because it meant that I didn't have to go back to India and Pakistan to look for material to compose. I could find it right here in North America.
If the lyrics are new and the music is new, what's traditional? And you said ghazal. I have said ghazal earlier. Am I wrong? Are there different ways of saying it? How does that work?
No, you're totally right. In Iran, I believe they say ghazal, which is the way you said it earlier, and that's the way they pronounce it. In India, Pakistan, we say ghazal. It's just like the difference of saying tomato and...
Tomato. I know I get in trouble
exactly.
With that. But if the words are new and if the music is new, what's traditional about the form?
Well, I generally stay away from the word traditional because it is a very ambiguous term for me and hard to define what traditional means. Does traditional mean doing the music the same way as it was done about 100 years ago or 30 years ago or 1,000 years ago? Who knows? But I think what people, when they say traditional, what they're referring to is the genre. The genre is an ancient genre, like Western classical music is an ancient genre. Rock music is not an ancient genre. Jazz is also maybe not ancient, but ghazal is a type and structure of music and poetry that originated in the 10th century. And so I'm composing within the confines of that genre, but also I think helping it evolve or making it evolve.
If you were to play, well, let me get you to play a piece for us. Vokuch is the song that you're going to do here.
Yes.
What do we need to know about this one before we hear it? This is a ghazal, yeah?
This is a ghazal, you're right. And the lyrics are written by a Torontonian by the name of Tahira Masood. She's a homemaker or domestic engineer, perhaps. And this is something I composed, and it's on our new CD. And it's about a girl who is saying that she is obsessed with someone. And she's talking about the fact that this obsession with this man is making her act all silly and giddy, much like a 16-year-old in love. And so she's saying that one of the examples of this is that she's heard that he has had a falling out with the company that he's been keeping. And so this has raised her hopes that maybe he's going to look towards her for his for her company.
And what language are you singing?
This is in Urdu.
In Urdu.
Yes.
Well, let's hear a little bit.
This is Vo Kuch.
Such a nice voice. That's great to hear.
Thank you.
That's Naren Budakar on tabla and Reza Abbasi on guitar. Kira Nalawale here in the Connection Studio singing Vo Kuch. It's from her new CD. It is titled her name, Kira Nalawale, and it's your first release in the U.S. Am I right about
yes,
that?
Yes, it is. It's my debut release internationally.
Now, the use of the guitar is something, I guess, that some traditionalists would say, oh, it should be a sitar, it should be a sarangi, it should be something else, right? I mean, do you have people saying, you know, careful, you got to sort of stay within the rules here?
No, I haven't had anyone say that to me before. The guitar is an instrument that has been used in Indian music for the last about 30, 40 years.
Right.
What I've done is given it more of a prominent role so that instead of using it just as a rhythmic instrument that is for chords, I've also given it the prominence for melody along with the harmonium and the sarangi on the CD. So I've just used it a bit more.
And the beginning of the song, clearly not words. It's just it's you sort of bringing us into the world of the ghazal. And it's got a real, I don't know, melancholy feel to it when it starts.
This particular one?
It seems to, yeah. There's something almost haunting about the sound of the song when it begins.
Haunting is nice. This song is actually more of a fun song. So perhaps not so melancholy. She's saying that she's in love with him and she's acting all giddy. And she's saying all sorts of dramatic things like, oh, I have to tread on this path of love alone because he's not paying her attention. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about me, I'll be fine. I have chosen to tread on this path alone. So she's being melodramatic and she's saying all these dramatic words about loneliness, but really it's meant in a very lighthearted way.
And the music, you hear it all over the place. I mean, you hear it in, as I said at the beginning, you hear it in films, you hear it on the radio all the time. If we try to take the measure of it, not, you know, sort of taking it out of the top 20 U.S. for a minute here, is it pop music in India and Pakistan today? Would it have that same kind of measure on the radio?
Ghazals are not really pop music in India, Pakistan. To me, they fall somewhere in between the realm of Indian classical music and Indian pop music. They're a genre on their own. And they're in the middle of both. They're not the most serious type of music in that region, but then they're not the most light type of music either. They were the popular type of music in about the 40s, 50s, and 60s. In they were used in Bombay Bollywood films.
You'd hear your parents singing them.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let me just stop you there. Kira Nalawalia is my guest. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We're talking about her use of a very old form of singing, the sung poetry of the ghazal, as well as some Punjabi folk music. We'd like to have you join us. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. The name of this song is Chandra. It is also from Kiran Alawalia's new disc. And Kiran, there's an instrument there that is not very familiar to this kind of music. Who's your musical guest on this piece, playing the fiddle?
My musical guest on this piece is Natalie McMaster, the Celtic fiddler from Cape Breton Island in the east part of Canada.
So whoever would have thought of putting together Punjab music? This, again, is a Punjab folk song, am I right?
It's a Punjabi folk song, yep.
Who would have thought of putting this together with Celtic music? Was that your idea?
Yeah, I guess. A few people around me and myself. I was actually touring in Finland last year. And we were at a festival for 10 days, and there was a lot of Finnish folk music there at the festival. And Finnish folk music is largely fiddle music. So there were these outdoor festivals, and they were fiddling away, and I was alone at the back of a hill somewhere and trying to sing one of my Punjabi folk songs while the fiddle concert was going on, trying to see which folk song of mine would fit the fiddle tunes. And so that's where I was first sort of introduced to the concept that, okay, this fast fiddling would sound actually quite nice with the Punjabi folk songs. And then when I came home and came time to record something, I wanted to invite a guest artist for two songs, and I thought of Natalie McMaster.
I'm just wondering how far you can go. I mean, it crosses a line that I find really interesting, and it got me wondering, well, where do you stop now? If you put together a Celtic fiddle with a harmonium and tabla and Indian instruments, it's almost like there are no rules anymore.
No, in the end, there are no rules, and that's why there's this thing called evolution. take, for example, the harmonium. I use a lot of harmonium in my music, and a harmonium, which is a bellowed keyboard instrument, much like an accordion, is a bona fide part of Indian music now. But 300 years ago, it came to India from Germany. So, and it came on a table with pedals, and we do everything in India sitting down. So we got rid of the table and the pedals, and we adopted it for Indian music, and now it's like an Indian instrument. And then you have the Spanish guitar, which has proliferated over the world. Many Americans, you know, think of the guitar as an American instrument. And so this is coming into Indian music as well, and it doesn't stop its evolution.
Kira Nalawali is my guest. My number's 1-800-423-8255. And Chad's joining us on the line from Boston. Hi, Chad.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for calling. What are you thinking?
I absolutely love listening to this. It's fascinating to hear. It's just when your guest says that she composed the melody, I always try to shoehorn it into my Western idea of what a melody should be. And I'm just wondering, all these trills and ornamentation, is that like an intrinsic part of the melody, or are you improvising more like American jazz?
The ornaments, for me, are part of the melody. But if you were to give this melody to another Indian singer, that Indian singer might leave out the ornaments that I'm doing and might put in his or her own ornaments. So for me, they're part of the melody. And if I was to improvise, I would do something else. Yeah.
So each performance is a unique take on it. Then that would be interesting,
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Does the song sound different one day from the next? Is the ornamentation that you do then that much of something that you'll make up at the spur of the moment?
You know, oddly enough, if I improvise, then it will be different. But to my ears, the ornamentation part of it isn't actually improvisation. It's actually unconscious. So then I'm not aware of if my ornamentation is the same every day or not. But if I was actually, you know, going to do two or three lines of improv, then yes, that would be consciously different.
Now, do you sometimes play? You're not playing an instrument today, but do you sometimes play and sing at the same time?
Yes, I play a drone instrument called tanpura, and today I brought my electronic version of it. It's a drone instrument. It just gives me my tonic, which is the first note in the scale, and it gives me my fifth note in that scale, and it's just meant to give me a pitch center, really.
Is it there? Can we hear it in the clear?
Oh, okay. Here we go.
And that's what you'll use just to sort of center yourself for the song.
Exactly.
And if it's not an electronic version, what is it? Is it a stringed instrument that you play?
Yes. It's kind of like a lute. It has a bottom that is made of pumpkin, and then a long wooden neck, and then the neck would have four strings on it that I would tune.
And when we talked just before we went out at the first break, I was saying your mother and father would sing the ghazals to them. To each other.
Yes.
Obviously there's no music that goes along with that, but do they sing them kind of like as couplets, just a couple of lines from one to the other, or is it the kind of song that gets stuck in your head like an old Beatles song and you just walk around humming or singing it to yourself over the course of a day?
Both of those things are true. Ghazals are... They have about, they're basically couplets, as you said, and they can have three or four couplets that would make up an entire song. So they're generally like, you know, if you're singing them, they would take about 4 or 5 minutes if you don't have other instruments with you improvising. And so they would do both those things. They would sing ghazals when they were growing up to each other. Well, not growing up, but when they met, they would sing ghazals to each other. They would sing ghazals
as an expression of love or kind of fooling around?
Both.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, get too far into your parents' relationship.
we'll have to set up a 1-800 line to Markham in Canada to ask them. But I think they're a romantic type of music, and they're actually a viable romantic type of music even today. Like if you go to India, and if I was dating someone who also had a love for ghazals, we might be waiting for a bus or a taxi cab, and he might just hum me a couple of lines of a ghazal as as just a romantic thing to do.
That is really romantic. I like that. I'm going to put you three to work once again, if I can. What's the piece of music that we're going to listen to here?
This is a Punjabi folk song, and we call this song Koka. And Koka means nose ring. And so this is a song about a girl in the villages of Punjab who is trying to convince her lover to buy her a nose ring long before it was trendy.
Now, just before you start here, the Punjab's a very agricultural region, one of the prettiest parts of both India and Pakistan. And I'm wondering if we try to stretch our imagination here, we could consider the Punjabi folk song like country music is here. Very simple melodies, really almost ballad-like, stories in a way, and again, something that is of the people, of the way that they live.
Yes, it is of the people, of the way they live. Not so ballady. It's got more of like a driving rhythm and groove to it.
She says as her neck moves around and around.
And they're about simpler things. Punjabi folk songs were traditionally, I use that word in quotes, sung perhaps after the harvest when you've got the crop all done and now you're going to have a lot of money to spend. And of course, the girls are like, well, there's all this money. Let me see. Very good time to hit my boyfriend up for a nose ring.
All right. Kiran Ahluwalia, and the song is Koka. Kiran Alawalia with the song Coca on guitar, Reza Bassi, Narlan Budakar on tabla. I wish people could see how expressive you are when you sing. You know, you've got, you're pointing your finger at certain points and your shoulders are going up and down. Are you?
Well, we'll be back in Boston in August.
Is it a way that helps you sort of draw out the emotion of the song? I mean, could you imagine doing this with your hands folded neatly in your lap?
No, because, you know, even when I talk, like when I was describing the Tanpura, my drone instrument, to you, I was sort of, it wasn't here, and I was making the shape with my hands.
This is what a pumpkin's shaped like.
Exactly. So often when I'm talking or when we're all talking, we sometimes, you know, talk with our hands. And so it's the same thing. When I'm singing, I'm communicating, and I'm also using my hands to communicate. And different rhythms will manipulate my body to move differently. If I go to a club and I hear a bhangra beat, that's going to manipulate my hips to move and for me to dance. And this folk song was manipulating me to move my shoulders a bit.
1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and Khaled is joining us on the phone. Hi, Khaled.
Hey, Dick. Hi. Thank you for having me taking my question. Just one comment. And I originally come from Punjab, and it is just, I'm just so delighted to hear are singing these songs. To me, it seems like it's a heirloom gift that's now wrapped in new wrapping, American Western style wrapping, and I'm just so glad.
Is that song itself familiar to you, Khaled?
Excuse me?
Is that song that you just heard, is it a familiar one for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing she can, you know, sing just as well in Urdu as in Punjabi, and I have a suspicion she can probably do just as fine in some other languages. And I wanted to know more about her background in terms of what influenced her music and her training and schooling.
It's actually a great story because you were at one point a bond trader in Toronto. You had your MBA. Your parents figured that they were set. And what happened then?
Yes, I had my MBA in finance, and the thing to do next was to get a job trading bonds on Bay Street, which is Canada's Wall Street. But I wasn't quite happy doing that, so I left that. And I always had music in my life on a part-time basis. So I basically went back to India to study on a full-time basis, and I've been doing this full-time for some time now.
Now, you started with one music teacher in Mumbai, in Bombay, but mm-hmm. then you got hooked up with this fellow in Hyderabad. Tell me about him.
My ghazal teacher in Hyderabad, his name is Vittal Rao, and another important discovery that I made was to find him. And he is probably the last living court musician of the Nizam of Hyderabad. And that means that when there was royalty in Hyderabad before India became an independent country, and it was run by, Hyderabad was run by a king, my teacher was living in the court and was the musician of the court. And they would have, the king was himself a poet. And so they would have these musical gatherings that would start at 10 p.m. at night, and poets of the day would come, and other patrons of the arts would come, and these poets would put fresh pieces of poetry on a paper on my teacher's harmonium, and he would compose them on the spot. And these musical gatherings would go on till 4 o'clock in the morning. And so he's a very, very important link to this music and really way of life. And till this day, maybe 10 of his concerts a month will start at 10 p.m. in Hyderabad and will go on till about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning.
I bet he gets a big crowd.
He does, yes.
If you were to put your finger on one thing that he taught you about singing ghazals, could you do that?
Wow, that is so hard. I guess softness. I would have to say softness. My classical teacher and the classical tradition in India is a very strict tradition. It wasn't uncommon for my classical teacher to, she's a woman, but it's not uncommon for her to hit me on the hand if I didn't sing something exactly the way she wanted me to hear it, she wanted to hear it. With my ghazal teacher, he was not like any of the teachers that I had met in the classical Indian world. He was very sweet, very soft. You know, he'd be able to accept an apology if you did something wrong. And I said to him once that, Guruji, why are you this way? You're so soft. He goes, I'm singing about love. I have to be soft. This is softness.
Most of these songs are also songs about love. My guest is Kira Nalawali. We're listening to her playing live here in the Connection Studio, and also songs from the disc, a little bit of the collaboration with Natalie McMaster here in the background. Question for you, Connection listeners. How much room is there to play, to experiment with such a sort of classic old form of music? 1-800-423-TALKS, the number to join us. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, a little bit more of the music of Kira Nalawali in the background there. That's Kina Nere. It's an instrumental from her new self-titled disc, which is available in the United States. If you want to know more about Kieran and the musicians she plays with, you can go to our website, wheretheconnection.org, and there we'll have all the links that you need to find out more about Kieran and her music. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. A number of people who want to join us on the phone, so let's go back to Weston, Massachusetts. Hussein's on the line. Hi, Hussein. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Dick. First of all, I'd like to commend you and NPR for making it possible for us to reveal this genre to the greater public and bringing Kiran on, who seems to be a great exponent of ghazal singing. My question really to Kiran is about the lyrics that she chooses for her songs, especially the ghazals. My experience has been that, in at least as far as Western audiences are concerned, it is difficult for them to appreciate ghazal singing because of the poetry that's involved, because part of the appreciation of ghazal is the appreciation of the poetry itself. So how...
Are you saying, Hussein, that the finest ghazals stand alone as poets, even if you were going to just read it?
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Ghazal by itself is a poetic genre in which there is a certain tradition and in which there is a certain way of expression of that is used. And also the language that goes into that poetry. And so people who do not appreciate or who cannot understand the Urdu language or Persian or Punjabi even, have difficulty trying to really appreciate the music that evolves as a result of the ghazals being sung.
I don't have difficulty appreciating. I like it for what it is, but I take the point that I may be missing a lot by not understanding the language. Kieran, what are your thoughts on this? You're performing here frequently for audiences that don't speak Urdu or Punjabi.
Yes. Hassan, you bring up a good point, and you will be, I think, surprised to know that the majority of my audiences are actually non-South Asian, and even the South Asians are young South Asians who don't understand the language anymore. But you do bring up an interesting point that I was afraid of when I was starting this career.
Right.
But basically, the way I've approached it is that if I like a ghazal, there's something that I like in it, definitely. So there's a story there. So I've worked hard to find interpreters who can interpret the lyrics in a nice, eloquent way. And before my songs, I always explain a little bit about what the ghazal is.
I think that's or
about
a great idea.
Yeah, or a little bit about what touches me in the ghazal.
Yeah.
But it's far beyond that. It's far beyond my cute little description. I've found that it's really the melody is what contains the emotion. And it's the emotion that is within the melody and the solos and the instruments. And it's the emotion in that music that I think is relating to people out there. People are able to say that, okay, this is a melancholic song, and whatever I couldn't say in words, be they English or Chinese or Japanese or whatever, I'm able to express that feeling with the music that they're playing.
Yes.
And if it's a Punjabi folk song, if there's happiness in my life, I'm able to experience that happiness by tapping my toe to this song.
Well, thank you very much for bringing this genre to the public here in North America. And I'd be most keen to know if, somewhere down the line in this program, you can mention something about your live performances in this region. Thanks once again.
You can certainly go to the Connection website and then get hooked up to my website, and we'll be performing all over the States.
All right, Hussein, thanks for your call. One part that I was just thinking about here is the artificial line that today separates Pakistani Punjab from Indian Punjab, and you're originally from India. Have you performed in Pakistan as well?
Yes, I had the pleasure of having a tour in Pakistan, and I've been to Pakistan twice in my life. and we were wonderfully received in Pakistan. We went in a very troubling time. There was a war going on, being launched on Afghanistan, and you know, it's just a very bad time in the history of the world. But we were received with open arms and a lot of love.
I wonder if you, when you're there, you hear from Pakistani Punjabis this yearning to be, you know, reconnected again with families and cousins and everyone in India, and if the music provides some of that kind of cross-border link.
Definitely, the arts do provide that link, and there is, I mean, partition, which is the phenomena that divided India and Pakistan into two countries, resonates with people today on both sides of the border, and it's people have tears in their eyes when they talk about that, and definitely there are many people you will find that say we are still one.
I mean, you play something like Janjara, and will you have people singing along? Are the songs familiar enough so there will be people who know the lyrics? I'm thinking, in fact, of the Punjabi folk songs where you're using the lyrics that might be from the 17th or the 16th century.
Yes, the song Ikranja that we played in the beginning is very well known on both sides of the border because that poet actually lived in the side of Punjab that is now in Pakistan, but that poet is known on both the Indian side and the Pakistani side.
And I want to go back to our callers, but just one more question on this because I'm fascinated by it. You were born in India, raised in New Zealand, back to India, then Toronto. You're traveling all over the place. When you go back to Punjab, is there something that, do you recognize something deep in yourself that is that connects you to that region? Is it just like another place to go? Do you know what I mean?
That's such an interesting question, Dick, because the sad truth is that I was actually surprised that I didn't feel connected to Punjab. Even though I am a Punjabi, I hadn't set foot in Punjab until my 20s. And so because I spent most of my life learning music in Bombay and Hyderabad, I consider myself more of a Bombayite, a Hyderabite. God, that's an interesting word.
We'll check that one with our grammar.
And perhaps also a person from New Delhi, which is where I grew up when I was in India.
Yeah.
And Punjab, it is more rural than those places because it is an agricultural place. I definitely connected with those people, but I'm more of probably New Delhi and Bombay and Hyderabad.
Let's go back to our phone lines. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Kiran Alawali is here in the studio with me. We're going to Charlottesville, Virginia. Tom's on the line. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks for
taking my call.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I just have a pretty simple question about the forms of classical Indian music. I know something about the rag form or the raga, but you know, I never heard of the form you've been talking about, and I really like the shorter song forms. And I was wondering how that related to the rag, or if it had any relationship at all.
I need to reveal one thing to you, and that is that Kiran, in deference to the fact that we only have an hour here, has shortened the songs a little bit, but they are still, on average, what, I would guess, 5, 6, 7 minutes long? So
yeah.
It is shorter than
Than a classical rag. An Indian classical rag can go on for about an hour, beautifully played for an hour. These are shorter songs, you're right. And how they relate to classical music? Well, many of the songs, the ghazals, I base them on a rag that I have learned. But the rules are, there aren't that many rules. So basically, I can go outside of the rag, the scale. I can use notes that are not in the scale. And so it's a little looser that way.
Is that to answer your question there, Tom? Oh, Tom is gone.
Oh.
Why don't we, have we got time to play another piece? Let's do that.
Okay. Well, for Tom, I'll
what are we going to hear here? This is, pronounce it for me, Yenahin?
Yeah, Yenahin.
Okay. Yenahin. And what does that translate to?
That in itself doesn't translate to anything, but basically I've called it in English Wandering Dusty Paths. And it's a song, the lyrics are written by Rafi Raza, and he's a poet who lives in Toronto as well. And you could say that in the first two lines he's saying that I didn't make a conscious intention of coming here, but this is where I've ended up. And you could interpret this as being a song about his story from his, a story about his journey from his native Pakistan to his adopted homeland in North America. But I'm much more of a romantic, so when I was composing the melody to this song, for me, it's about a guy who's maybe had a quarrel with his lover, and he's traveling the city streets, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, without knowing it, he ends up in front of his lover's doorstep. And he goes on in the song to explain himself to her, and he's saying that, you know, I know my soul seems tarnished and stained, but you don't know how long and far I've traveled, and you don't know how hard I've been trying to shake off the dust from my soul. So please won't you take the time to look beyond the dust, and please won't you take the time to understand me. And I'm also going to mention that for Tom's interest, and perhaps others, this is actually based on the Indian rag or scale of Hansadwani, but uses extraneous notes as well. This is Ye Nahi.
On tabla, Naran Budhakar. On guitar, Reza Masi. And Kiran Alawali is singing Ye Nahin. Nahin, do you say the N at the end of it? Ye Nahin?
Actually, it's a nasal N.
Yeah, here it's sort of disappearing when you say
yes.
Ye Nahin.
Yeah, Ye Nahin. Yes, but my mother insisted that I put that N there. She wanted me to represent the nasal N. So there it is. Confusing the likes of you.
That's okay. I live in sort of a state of perpetual confusion. 1-800-423-8255. And don't you just love the reach of internet radio here? We're taking a call from Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. Mohammed's joining us. Hi, Mohammed.
How are you there?
I'm very well. What are you thinking as you listen in?
Well, I was really admiring the selection of the poetry that Kiran has done and the music she has composed. And she is a true reflection of Vittal Rao, who is a personal friend of mine. And he is performing in Jeddah tonight, just about 2-3 hours from now. So I will tell her that Kiran was on NPR. I will tell him, rather, that Kiran was on NPR, and she mentioned his name. But Kiran, you are really beautiful.
And give him all my love.
I want to thank you, and I also want to thank NPR for bringing Ghazal to the program. I've been listening to you, and you're just tops.
I'm wondering if you have a message for Vittal that Mohammed can pass along for you.
Please tell Mohammed G, please tell Vittal Rao all of our love from the whole band.
I will. He has brought a tabalchi with him from Hyderabad, just in case you want to know.
Okay.
His name is Ahmad, and he's been playing with Vittal now. He tells me for a long time. I left Hyderabad in 1960, so I went to New York and I stayed there 21 years. I came over here. So I don't know how long this...
Mohammed, I want to thank you for taking a moment to spend with us. We're near the end of the program, and I just wanted to have a chance to ask one more question of Kiran before we say goodbye. The performances that you do and the music that you play, do you kind of take it upon yourself to be something of an ambassador of new music for people who are not listening to it? Because I like the sort of sound of wonder that I get from some of the callers who are going, this is great, I like to hear this, you know?
I have been called an ambassador of this music, and I think that's partly because I'm someone who is able to do the music and also speak in the English language, and since I'm touring a lot in the Western world, that helps Western audiences. As someone once asked me, is part of your goal to also educate the audience? And actually, it's not. That's not actually part of the goal. The goal is simply to entertain, to have you come to a concert or come home and put on the CD and make you forget your day and whatever it is that you weren't able to communicate in words, to help you communicate at that. And then we just hope that you enjoy the music.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Kiran Ahluwalia, and on guitar, Reza Abbasi, on tabla, Naran Budakar. We're going to go out with, what are we listening to? Kinanari also, which is from the CD called Kiran Ahluwalia, available in the United States. If you'd like more information about Kiran, you can go to our website. We are at theconnection.org. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.